Welcome to the Ghost Podcast. This is your host, Rosemary, and today I have a guest from Australia. Hannah Cardiff is a dating coach, but she also has a personal ghost story to share with us today. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today. Would you like to tell our listeners about yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. So, yeah, I'm a dating coach, and I got into this because I have my own ghosting story, and I learned lots of lessons in my journey of dating over the last few years. And I guess I took those lessons because they were quite significant. And you know, ghosting is quite impactful on the way that you see it. Like it causes a lot of, you know, self-doubt and all those sort of things. So, you know, my job now is to empower women to take rejection as redirection and not take dating so personally, so we can have fun with it. We can have fun finding our partner.
What exactly is a dating coach? Can you just explain what that is?
Absolutely. Yeah. So a dating coach is essentially, I personally am an online dating coach. So I understood at the start of my dating journey that I made lots of mistakes because men and women are very different. And I was dating from a place of trying to make them like me, trying to win them over, when in actual fact, you know, what I learned through my studies and qualification and everything is that we all have masculine and feminine energy within us. And when you're a feminine trying to attract a masculine mate, what I was doing was putting out masculine energy. So I was not attracting the right type of men that would value me, basically because I didn't value myself. So as a dating coach, I basically empower people to see their worth so they don't settle for anything less than they deserve. A lot around self-development of self-worth, self-care, and learning what red flags are, green flags, what your boundaries are, what your own personal boundaries are. Lots of people, I was overstepping mine, not even knowing what that meant, and how that impacts the dating world.
How long have you been a dating coach?
Coming up to 2 years.
I'm really curious to hear your opinion on if you think, because I know that there, you know, there's a lot of dating coaches out there now and a lot of podcasts about dating. Do you think that there has been a shift in modern dating that is causing this need for people like you to help people just navigate through modern dating?
100%. And, you know, and particularly online dating, when COVID hit, you know, I had just started a matchmaking agency because I'm in the love industry. I want to help people find relationships, right? So I was like, I'm going to start a matchmaking agency. I got qualified. I did all the research. I did my business model, all the rest of it. My idea was to make to get people to make in-life connections, right? And then COVID hit, and all of a sudden, online dating became, it increased by, it was like 30 or 40%. It was ridiculous. And then I soon learned that the way the world has changed, online dating is actually the way to go as far as finding someone. But there comes a lot of learning within that. We think that, you know, you think you just make an online dating profile and go shopping for a human online, but there's so much more to that, so much more. So that's where I saw the need. And that's when I'd learned my lessons and I transformed my dating life. And then I was like, I can teach people how to do this. Like I can teach them how to change their lives. So that's what I do.
I like your analogy, shopping for a human online. I haven't thought about that before.
It's weird, right? It's like, yeah. do I add to cart and go on a date or do I just keep scrolling? Yeah.
Can I get Prime delivery on that?
Exactly.
I'm wondering, what are the top issues you see in dating today?
The top issue is 100% self-worth. So when we don't know our worth, everything else slips. So we accept less than we deserve. We accept subpar communication. We accept, you know, just if you don't know your worth and you don't know how to set boundaries for yourself, and that's self-care in itself. So that's probably the number one thing is self-worth. The number two thing is that women now, because of society's, you know, society has changed and now we are boss ladies. Like we are running companies and we're hustling and all the rest of it, but that's not being within our natural state of our feminine energy. And masculine men, when they're looking for a partner, are looking not for a, they're not looking for another, you know, there's a polarity between the two, the masculine and the feminine. And what I definitely, because I'm very independent and I'm strong and all these sort of things, that's actually what men are supposed to be. And they want to be needed. So there's a lot more to it than that. But I think that, you know, number one, self-worth issues, because we do get ghosted now, right? We do get stood up and all the rest of it, unmatched. And then secondly, it's understanding the polarity between the energies of the masculine and feminine. I think those two things are the biggest issues and the biggest game changers.
How do you see ghosting play into the people that you work with? And do you have it? Do you work with people who both ghost and have been ghosted? And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think I always teach people to treat people how you would like to be treated. So I don't find that ghosting is acceptable unless there are examples, and unless, you know, you've not met them yet, you've made a bit of a connection online, then they've been extremely inappropriate, they've insulted you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Unmatch. Don't just ghost. You don't need to say, you know what, you've offended me. Just ghost them. But as far as you've been on a first date, et cetera, et cetera, and you don't see it going further, I basically educate them into how to structure a message to let someone down, because that's a hard thing to do and lots of people don't want to do that. So that's a big one. And as far as ghosting, you know, we just have so much, there's so many people to pick from these days. Like, there is so many options and it's so easy to disregard and ghost. So I definitely can see how easy it is these days. But what I do teach people, and it will happen, it happened to me and it'll happen. It's the dating world. Unfortunately, that's just the case. But what I teach people is that, you know what, the universe has actually removed something that isn't meant for you. Those that are meant for you will stay. And it says more about them than you to be doing that.
I have one more question about ghosting before we dive into your story. Yeah. What is your advice? Because this is something I get a lot of questions on. What is your advice to someone who is just having a hard time moving on without closure after being ghosted?
Yeah. So this ties well into my experience of ghosting, but what I sometimes feel like time heals those wounds, but definitely what I definitely was doing was romanticizing the potential of this person. Ghosting usually will happen within the first 3 months, right? And it is strongly correlated to love bombing, which is a manipulation technique of all that sort of, it's quite a negative thing to do. Love bomb someone, and then the next stage is sort of disregarding them, and it can involve ghosting. Helping to move on is definitely to stop romanticizing the idea of them. So if it's ended within the first 3 months, you don't know enough about that person to be, you know, and that's what I teach as far as non-attachment goes as well. We can't romanticize and fall for these men is what I deal with. I deal with heterosexuals, but we can't get too involved, so that if you do get ghosted within the first few months, it's just a redirection. So it's really a mindset around ghosting. As far as moving on, sometimes I think that time will heal it, but I think the bigger picture of the fact that the universe does things for us and not to us is the bigger picture. If someone is meant to stay in your life, they're going to stay. If not, they're the wrong person.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I think it becomes almost like a self-awareness thing, like you said, to not catch feelings too soon and become too attached so that you're so affected by it. And that's something personally I've learned to do as well. I actually got ghosted recently and I was just kind of like, meh.
Absolutely. And it's actually quite related to self-worth, because if you know your worth, if someone doesn't see that, then ghost away. It doesn't matter. Remove yourself so someone worth it can come in and see your worth. Absolutely.
So tell me about your story, as much background as you want to share, talk about your ghosting story, and then how did that lead into your dating coach lifestyle?
Yeah, absolutely. So a little bit of background. So I started dating from quite a vulnerable place. So my ex-husband had left me pregnant with our second child for somebody else. So that was quite a heartbreaking, you know, I would definitely say that my self-worth was quite low. So when I got back into dating after the birth and all the rest of it, and this was, you know, this was a guy that I'd gone on a first date with, and there was instant chemistry, there was instant connection, and I felt, you know, butterflies like I had never felt before. And I was like, this is why it's happened. This is why, you know, I've had my heart broken and my our whole family unit has been upturned so that I could find my person. And I 100% romanticized this guy, right? And when I look back now, I can see he was doing the bare minimum, but I was happy for that because my self-worth was low. So when I found a guy that was fairly good looking, very charismatic, and I felt like I had a really good connection with, it was a very fast relationship. Like, you know, 4 weeks in, he was dropping the love word and all that sort of stuff. And I definitely felt, looking back, I definitely wasn't in love with him, but I was definitely infatuated. Like, I thought we were just going to be together forever, right? And that happened because my self-worth was so low. Had I known what I know now, you know, I would have structured the whole dating process differently. Those first 4 weeks, I would have seen the red flags of love bombing and all that sort of stuff. He put me up on such a pedestal, like he absolutely worshipped me. So I lapped it up. I was like, oh my goodness, not only is he hot and funny, he thinks I'm amazing, right? And I was in that headspace of being so appreciative and all the rest of it. And then it was my birthday week. And at the start of my birthday week, so this is only 6 weeks in. This is crazy how quickly this happened. But it, if you've ever been love bombed before, you'll understand that it is definitely, I can understand how it happens. So then at the start of my birthday week, you know, he said, oh, I'd love for you to be my girlfriend. Like, I want to take you off the market and I'm falling in love with you. And I was like, oh my goodness, yes, like I would love that. And then we'd seen each other that week and everything was fine. There was absolutely no warning signs. So he'd met my family, he'd met my friends. Like, you know, not ever in my wildest dreams did I think this was going to happen. So it gets to my birthday night. So this is 3 years ago. This is a long time now, but it gets to my birthday night and my friend's there and he's going to pick me up, you know, afterwards. And it gets to 11 o'clock and it's been a few hours since I've heard from him. And that's weird because he was consistent with communication at that point. And then I called him and I was like, his phone was off. And I was like, well, that's weird. And I did not hear from him again. He literally stood me up on my birthday. And my friends were like, no way, no way is this happening. Like, what? It was shocking. It was really shocking. So I understand. I actually did see him, though, 2 weeks later. We were both at a club at the same, like, 1 a.m., I think it was. It was ridiculous. And I'm a very composed person. And I was like, I bumped into him. I was like, oh, are you okay? Like, thought you died. What happened? Are you okay? And he's like, yeah, and then fed me some bullshit excuses. But basically, he didn't see my worth. And I can look back now and see that definitely. But I will say that that was more heartbreaking and the prolongedness of that infatuation was way worse than when my husband of, you know, 8 years left me. Like, it can really mess with your brain. And I guess that's why anyone that ever works with me or ever does a course of mine, I literally have it written in there that if you ever feel like you are being love bombed, you need to reach out to me. I don't care if it's in 10 years' time. If you think that you're going to be love bombed, the impact of being love bombed and then ghosted is that significant. I want them to always reach out to me because I don't want that to happen to anyone else.
So it's been 3 years. You've had some time to process this, but what was going through your mind when this was actually happening and what was your reaction and what did you do?
I never cried about it. Like, I never got upset about it. I didn't even get angry. I just was in the zone of wanting him still. Like, there must be some reason for this. And his reason that he gave me was that he just didn't feel good enough, yada, yada, yada. I didn't do anything to make him feel like that. That was his own insecurities. But what was going through my head was just that we'll get back together one day. He's just going to snap out of it. Like, my brain had literally, because of the serotonin and the oxytocin and all those chemicals that I'm now aware of, that I now am so aware that I control them, that attachment for those 3 months, that was out the window at the start because I knew nothing. I was just doing what I thought he was. I was doing what I thought would keep him. You know, I was doing wifey stuff. I was making him lunch to go to work and stuff like that. So, yeah, that impacted everything because once I saw how easily it could happen, I was like, okay, I need to warn people about this. It was such a significant lesson for me and a prolonged one that, yeah, that's basic. I would put it down to a lot of why I do what I do now to that scenario.
You said there weren't any warning signs it was going to ghost you, but you also said that there were red flags. So tell me more about what those red flags were and what other people can look for.
Absolutely. So his red flag in his profile, his bio literally said, no crazies, please. Right. And I was like, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy at all. This is okay. Take me. Like I was literally like the pick me girl, basically, which I'm disgusted in myself for. But, you know, if anyone says that their exes are crazy or that women are crazy, generally it's because men have made them that way. And I mean, it wasn't crazy, but I sent him a message and I just said, you know, I hope you're okay and I hope everything's going to be all right and I wish you the best of luck with your future. Something he did not deserve was I gave him that closure. He didn't respond, which is fine, but he would take that as being crazy. Like I've ghosted this girl. She's still messaging me being nice, right? So number one red flag, anyone that disrespects women of any type, exes or otherwise, that's definitely a red flag. Another red flag was he was not, I would be the one instigating the meeting. So do you want to do something tonight? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? That is not how it's meant to be. Men will do anything to see a woman that they're interested in. That's just a fact. It is literally bred into them, into their masculine energy that they want to lead and they will initiate and all that sort of stuff. But I definitely feel like I was initiating most. That was the second red flag, that he really wasn't that interested, but I couldn't see it because he was still meeting up with me. I was just instigating it. What other red flags were there? There was definitely... And when we did meet up, I definitely didn't feel like a priority. Like he would say a certain time and then come an hour later and it sort of put me on edge. So when he ghosted me, it was like preparation for that really, now that I can look back and see that. So the fourth red flag would definitely be the butterflies and that instant chemistry that I felt on the first date, because that's often a red flag of a trauma response, or chemistry is not supposed to be that intense on your first date. And I can see now that it was definitely a red flag, because once your brain is like, oh my God, I want that again, you'll do anything to get it. It's like a drug. It's like a love drug. And that's definitely a warning sign that they're probably not going to be the one and they're probably going to end up breaking your heart.
Can you talk more about that trauma response and that chemistry?
Well, it's definitely down the psychology line, so, which I am not, but the trauma response of, you know, and I read it all the time, that butterflies usually aren't a good thing. If you're going to find someone to be with, which as I have now, it's definitely more of a calm feeling. So you feel at ease, you feel calm, you're not getting wrapped up in it, and your life doesn't revolve around this person. So that's definitely how I see the butterflies. I don't see going, you can be nervous for sure, but if you're feeling intense chemistry with someone, it is usually a trauma response of being left in the past or anything like that, that it will just flare it up.
That's really interesting. I've heard a little bit about this, but not as extensively as you're explaining it. And I think that's really confusing, because you think of that as a good thing. So you're like, oh, we have some chemistry. I'm so attracted to this person, mm-hmm. but it's actually doesn't usually work out when that happens.
Absolutely not. Like, you know, I feel like there's sort of levels of chemistry. You can be attracted to someone and, you know, be just like I was with my current partner. I was very attracted to him and we did have good chemistry, but there is a difference between good chemistry and that intoxicating butterfly, you know, feeling. And if you've ever felt that, you'll understand. And if you've ever felt that, you're probably definitely not with that person now, because it is that trauma response. And, you know, I definitely advise people to, I think that butterflies in them, it's like there's a difference between butterflies and feeling nervous about a first date. That's for sure. Ghosting sucks. It sucks so much, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you just want to help people. And everyone's got their own different sort of ghosting stories, and some are more impactful. Like mine definitely impacted my life. And it probably steered the directory of it, but it steered it in a good way. So, you know, ghosting can really suck at the time, but you can turn it around.
Yeah, I think you see later, like you said earlier, that you find out why that happened later.
Absolutely. Yeah. But
going through it is still, it's just, it's such a traumatic way to end something.
It truly is. It truly is. Yeah. And I'm actually grateful that I got to experience it, because now when I hear the stories, or I'm coaching someone who's literally going through it, I can completely empathize and resonate. And if I didn't, I wouldn't understand the full grasp of how it can actually affect somebody.
How do you feel about it now that it's been 3 years?
I feel like I would never let it happen. I would never let it affect me the way that it did. Definitely. If I saw him walking down the street, it wouldn't bother me. I'd wave and keep walking, kind of thing. But at the time, I would pass. I live in a small town. I'd sort of pass him and he's driving a truck, and my knees would go to jelly. My heart would skip a beat, and I'd be like completely trauma triggered. Like, this guy ghosted me. He abandoned me. And he's brought up some abandonment issues. So now I look back, and it definitely doesn't, I feel nothing towards him, but it was a long process of, I'm talking probably a year to stop thinking about him every day. And that's, I wish I had have known how to fix that quicker. But for me, it was just time and just stop comparing him, because he's not good. My brain put him on a pedestal, which was incorrect. He's not. He's just average.
But one of the things I've heard from our listeners, and I've heard in other stories with ghosting, is it's so strange how ghosting takes so long to get over in comparison to the time period you knew the person. Like, you might know them for a couple of weeks, but it can take you 6 months or a year to get over them just because of the ghosting being so traumatic.
100%, because you don't get that closure. And I find that you need to give yourself that closure, and you need to not romanticize them. And you need to, and I'm talking about romantic relationships here, but even friendships can be just as devastating. So it's about not looking for the potential in someone that they haven't even shown you. It's about, looking to the future. And in 5 years' time, you're not going to be worried about it. I like to think of things in 5 years' time, like, is that going to upset me in 5 years' time that I didn't, send that email on time or anything like that? So it's a good way of looking at it sometimes. But in other times, in my instance, it just took a lot of self-development work, seeing my worth, self-love, and knowing that it wasn't my fault and it was always going to be inevitable.
Is there any piece of advice you'd like to give our listeners before we wrap up?
My only piece of advice is that while ghosting is really bad, if you get love bombed and then ghosted, it's 20 times worse. So know what the red flags of love bombing are, familiarize yourself with them, and please don't get attached to anyone within the first three months, because you don't even know this person before 3 months. We are always putting our best foot forward to try and win someone over at the start, right? And then, at 3 months, you can see how they handle different situations and whether that aligns with what we want. So my other piece of advice is definitely don't get attached. Have fun with dating. Don't date multiple people. If you're not exclusive with someone, then you're single, because men are definitely wired that way, and you would rather be chosen than anything else. We don't chase, we choose.
Hannah, where can our listeners find you?
So Instagram is probably the best way to find me. So I run an Instagram page called The Empowered Dater, and it's basically a lot of just free advice on how to date, know your self-worth, all of the things that we should have known, all the things I wish I knew when I first started dating. An Instagram called The Empowered Dater, and there I have lots of free information for anyone to go and follow. And there you can find the links for my website, where I have some courses, self-development courses, and how to learn how to online date, all those sort of things. So Instagram is The Empowered Dater, and my website is blushdatecoaching.com.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
And listeners, we want to hear your story. So to submit a story to our podcast to be featured on a future episode, you can contact us on theghostpodcast.com or send us an email at theghostpodcaststories@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at theghostpodcaststories. Thank you for listening.